Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode of Loveless Fridays contains topics including the sexual assault of a minor. Please listen with caution. I'm Jake Deptula, and this is Loveless Fridays. Here we delve deeper into the topics, themes, and stories featured on Loveless Fear. In honor of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, I'm inviting guests who I've met along my journey as a podcaster, victim ally, and advocate. Danielle Gray is a caregiver and advocate who is helping to raise awareness about spiritual wellness and healing. When we first met, she was a guest on Strictly Stalking, where she shared her story of the tremendous abuse she faced in high school when her now ex-boyfriend verbally, physically, and sexually assaulted her. After they broke up, he began stalking her and enlisted other students to attack her, forcing her to leave high school. Here's a clip from the episode, and I'll add a link in the show notes.
I ran into the bathroom, in the girls' bathroom, like really quick. And then I put my feet up on the toilet and I picked out my phone out of my purse or my backpack. And I was just like, "Mom, you have to come save me." And she's like, "I'm just leaving, getting ready for work." And I'm like, "There's people here. My ex is like trying to like do something to me. I think he's going to jump me." And it's like really early in the morning before school's starting. So I don't know what to do. And she's like, "I'm coming." And I was like in tears, just sitting in a toilet.
Danielle, welcome back. It's so wonderful to speak with you again.
It's so amazing to speak with you again. I'm just so grateful that I was able to come on the first podcast, Strictly Stalking, and share my story. It's just been amazing. You've been such a great support to me.
For anyone who hasn't heard your episode on Strictly Stalking, can you take us back to that time in your life?
That happened to me at 14. It was my first boyfriend too. So you don't really know what you're getting into when it's your first boyfriend. So to go from being your first boyfriend to being in an abusive relationship and kind of not knowing it, but you're seeing the signs and you're, why is he jealous around people? Why does he want me to wear his big old Navy sweater all the time and not look pretty around people? Why is he so weird around guys that talk to me? Why do we get into arguments about nothing? But he physically hurts me over these arguments. And it just was kind of like, what is happening? And as a kid, you don't really understand what it is right in a relationship and what is wrong, especially when you're experiencing your first relationship. You're kind of just like, oh, I guess all boyfriends are like this. But then you start to realize as you watch your other friends in relationships and even talk to your parents, you're just kind of like, this isn't normal. This isn't normal at all. And even watching other shows on television, I remember watching SVU a lot and thinking, oh, that's what my relationship looks like. But at the time too, the Millennium shows and stuff, they would really show toxic relationships on TV. So you would think that jealousy was cute. So you would be like, is this wrong or is this good? Is this attractive or is this not attractive? Like, I would kind of be confused about it. Is this good or bad? I remember breaking up with him maybe 10 to 16 times before I left. It was really scary. You're so afraid to leave because they threaten you. They threaten to kill themselves. They do all these things to make you so fearful. They tell you that you're ugly, that you're not pretty enough for anybody else, that you're never going to be with anybody else because you're not worthy of that. You're not good enough. You're not thin enough. You're not smart enough. And you just kind of go, is that true? You're gaslit so much that you believe these things that you are basically being told over and over again until they stick. It's kind of like they hypnotize you into thinking that you're just not worthy enough for a relationship that's healthy. My little brothers were awesome. They noticed in the beginning of my relationship that he would talk to me certain ways. They'd be like, we don't like the way that this guy is talking to you. We don't like that way that he's treating you. And I would kind of brush it off and be like, it's okay. And I just kind of figured, well, my brothers have never been in a relationship, so I guess we'll just keep dating this guy. I was so scared. I was so scared at the point where my mom turned around to me and said, I know that you're in an abusive relationship. And I was kind of shocked. I was like, oh, wow, she knows my big secret. And she's like, you need to leave. Or if you're going to stay with him, he needs to get help. My body was just kind of like, I can't do this anymore. I don't even know who I am anymore. I feel just so broken. All the light in me is just gone. And I just want to get out of this relationship, but I don't know how. And we came up with a game plan. And she was like, just call him up on the phone, break up with him. And it was around, I think the Grammys were on and Beyonce and Prince were performing at the time. The phone call was really hard. So I called him that Sunday night and I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I can't be this punching bag. I can't do this relationship anymore. It's too draining. I give you everything and I'm getting nothing in return. I just can't be around somebody like you. And he turned around and said, you're gonna regret this. Nobody's gonna want you. You're gonna pay for this. And I was like, I'm done. I'm done with you. I just can't do it. Fear started to come in. It was kind of just like a panic attack. And I didn't really know what they were at the time, but I started to have panic attacks. I was kind of shocked and scared at the same time. I was like, wow, this is really over. Now what's gonna happen? I was terrified. I remember waking up and turning to my mom as I was downstairs and I was looking at myself in the mirror. I can't do this. I can't go to school. And my mom was like, you're going to go to school. You're going to pretend like everything's fine. You're going to get through this one step at a time. She's like, just breathe. It'll be okay. It will be fine. So then I go to school. I remember him not showing up at all. And I was really, really nervous about that for some reason. I was thinking, oh no, this is the beginning of the bad. It's going to get worse from here. It's gone from a light shower to like a storm is coming. I told all my friends that we broke up. They were like, yeah, right. You guys are going to get back together in 5 minutes, in a couple of days. You guys always break up. It's just not possible that you guys can't get back together. And then I remember just going back home, normal. All fine. I told my mom that he didn't show up. She's like, he's planning on doing something. He's planning on looking like the victim. He's going to come to school the next day and he's just going to do something. So then I remember going to school the next day and he did show up. And all of a sudden, my so-called friends just started to disappear. They stopped talking to me. They stopped hanging out with me. Only a couple of them, the guys that I always talked to that I wasn't allowed to talk to, started to come close to me. And then there were other kids in my school that I went to, elementary school and junior high. And they were, are you Danielle? You're the one that broke up with the abuser. And they're like, we're so happy that you did that. We don't know teenagers that would leave their abusive boyfriends or anybody who's left an abusive relationship. You're a hero. And I was like, wow. I did something good. And I remember one of my friends was staring at me just with such jealousy and rage. And she just hated me when I turned around to her and said, oh, wow, I can't believe that I'm impacting other people's lives, other teenagers' lives, the people that I went to school with that used to bully me now like me. And she just turned around and was like, yeah, whatever, who cares? And I was just kind of like, okay, we're not friends anymore. And it was just kind of heartbreaking that all these people kind of chose his side and they were believing his lies, saying that I was cheating on him when he was actually cheating on me. He had a separate MSN account where he had a list of girls. I remember my little baby brother, I think he was like 11 at the time, he managed to get into his account. This is just hilarious to me. He managed to like break into his account and see all these girls that he was talking to. And he was like, why are they calling him baby and all of this stuff? And I was just so surprised. He was saying that I was the cheater when I was the most loyal girlfriend. I was the best girlfriend. I would make him lunches. I would pay for our lunches. I would pay for our dates. I would do everything to make him happy. And he was telling lies about me. He was telling people that I was a slut, that I was a cheater, that I was the abuser in the relationship, and that people actually believed him. And I was just so devastated. I actually ended up having a really bad anxiety attack where I ended up with hives on my back. And I had to go to the doctor, and my like aunt had to take me because my mom was working at the time and had to look after my brothers. And I remember my family doctor going, Danielle, you're having a panic attack and they're coming out as hives. And at the time he knew everything that was going on because I went into a session with him before that when I was telling him about what was going on. And we were having a meditation session, kind of like a therapy session, because my counselor wasn't believing me. And he's like, you need to leave this counselor. You need to come to me. What you're going through is not untrue. What the therapist is telling you, that it's your fault, that's not true. I was being gaslit by everybody. I was being gaslit by my principal, by my vice principal, by certain teacher counselor, just certain people. The only people that believed me were my two teachers and their wives. And that was it. Other than the students that were on my side, I guess like half the school hated me and half the school were cheering me on. I came to school really early and I didn't think that he was going to come. And this was before the teachers got there, before the school was really physically open. And he got there with a group of people, like a gang of people. And I ran into the girls' bathroom. I was talking to one friend outside of a classroom, our homeroom. And he had a gang of people and his new girlfriend walk up the stairs where I was. And I just turned around and I was shocked. And I just ran into the bathroom and I put my feet up on the toilet seat and I got my cell phone out because luckily my mom was able to afford cell phones for emergencies. And I called her, and this was before she even left the house. I called her crying and she was like, where are you? And I'm like, I'm hiding in the bathroom, in the girls' bathroom in near close to my teacher's room. And she's like, okay, I'll be there in like 5-10 minutes. So she drove really fast, and we lived really close to the school, thank God, too. It was only like a, I think like a 10-15 minute walk. So she drove to the school, and she just, that was when, before the even bell went off, she went up to these kids, and she was full on mom mode. It was like watching a bear or a lion go off to protect their cub. And she's just screaming at these kids, stay away from my daughter. I will call the police. You all will be arrested. Don't mess with her. And then I remember my art teacher walked across and was staring at my mom. And this art teacher, I could not stand because I constantly got in trouble for stuff that I didn't do at the time of the stalking, where like my friend would talk behind my back, I would get in trouble for it. She yelled at him. And then she turned around to everybody and she was just like, I'm taking her and she's leaving now. And I remember my two favorite teachers were just standing there and they were almost clapping. They were so happy. And then you hear the bell go off as we're going down the stairs to the principal's office. Because my teacher's like, go to the principal's office. My art teacher said that. And then my mom was like, you stay out of this. And then we walked downstairs to the principal's office and she called my dad up and she's, these kids are stalking her. My teacher actually overheard a gang of boys that used to tease me. They were planning on gang raping me. And then I remember my mom was yanking me out of school. She's like, you're not going to that school anymore. Then I would go downtown and work with her. And I would just go with her to the office. And years later, she told me this. She said, I think it was when I was like 18 or 19. She's, oh yeah, by the way, I called like the school board and told them what your principal was doing. I don't know if it was my principal or my vice principal, but she actually ended up not reporting that I was being stalked, not reporting that I had threatening letters come to me and I was giving them to her and she was actually destroying the evidence. And you were supposed to call the police if that happened because it was a crime. And she was not doing that. So my mom called the school board and was like, this is what's going on. You need to fire this principal. And I was just like, oh, wow, you did that for me. And she's, of course, she's like, that principal should not be in charge of kids. She did something wrong. Legally, she did something wrong. She put you in danger. She put your brother in danger. She put a lot of people in danger.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Your mother was a savior, was the ultimate protector for you in so many ways, and saw the things that were happening to you and ultimately knew how to jump in and battle back against the school system, the bullies, and basically rescue you from that environment. You were 17 years old when you started a new school, new environment, new friends. How did you pick up the pieces and reestablish yourself? And what was the experience like for you to face some of the social anxieties and some of the potential issues that you were still dealing with from the past?
It was my last year of high school, and I remember my first day being absolutely terrified. And I turned around to my mom and I said, what if I can't do this? What if I'm going to be terrified of trusting people for the rest of my life? She was like, you just have to walk through those doors. Whatever happens, happens. And then I walked through each and every classroom and I had the same people. And I remember they were so happy to see me. And I remember being completely shocked about that because I was like, why are they happy to see me? Why are people actually happy to see me? And I remember rushing home to my mom and being so surprised and telling her, these people are so happy to see me. What is up with this? And she's, maybe they're just happy to see a new student that looks really nice and seems really nice. And then she told me, why don't you just go up to them and talk to them? But what if something bad happens? She's like, you can't live life like that anymore. You got to keep your heart open. You got to still be you. You just got to keep going. So the next day I walked up to them and I was just like, hey, I'm Danielle. And they're like, oh, that's so wonderful to meet you. Let's show you around. Let's help you out. And I was so surprised. Maybe a month later, they were like, you were so standoffish when we first met. You had your guard up. You were terrified. For some reason, we could just feel the energy off of you. I literally said, do you want to hear the story of what happened to me in high school to get the reason why I was like this? And I'm like, if you don't want to be friends with me after this, that's completely fine. And we went outside to talk. There was this nice area in the library that was an outside area, but it was closed off with glass. So they're like, let's go into this room so you don't have to talk in the library. And then I told them the whole story and I was terrified. I told them everything. And I was, if you guys don't want to hang out with me anymore, I understand. They turned around and, you survived all that? How is that possible? How are you this age and had to go through that? I have no idea, but this is why I was acting so strange to begin with for the past maybe couple of months or a month after. I was just so standoffish. And they're like, everything makes sense now.
How fortuitous was that for you to be able to reveal that and for their reaction? That's not at all what you'd expect.
No, I expected them to turn around and be like, oh my God, this is so disgusting. I can't be friends with you anymore. Like this, what happened to you? I can't be associated with you.
from a social stigma standpoint, you felt that you were basically wearing a scarlet letter, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I felt like I was wearing one once I was in that school situation that I was in. When I left it, I still felt that way. And then when I entered the new school, I still felt that way. I wanted to reinvent myself, but I was still like, how do I do that? I don't even know who I am.
How much did the support of your fellow students impact your path towards healing?
Oh my gosh, it changed my entire life. That last year of school was so impactful. It changed my trust in people. It changed the way that I looked at people. It changed friendships. They changed my life. And I don't think that they know that they've really impacted my life in such a powerful way that I was able to find myself. I was able to trust people. I was able to be open to dating again. I was able to find a reason to love myself again and to start to rebuild that trust within myself and with other people.
You didn't see that coming, right? You didn't see that at all. The option was to finish school and move on with your life, correct?
Yeah. My option was to be invisible, stay low, do school, graduate, and not get caught.
What did your mother think of how your fellow peers were embracing you at this new school?
She was so impressed. She was like, finally, you're at a school and you're in a different environment. And you're also, I was in special ed too at the time where all of this stuff was happening to me, the bad stuff. And then I went into school where I didn't have to be in special ed to be in a classroom with people that were actually very mature for their age, very respectful and very kind. It was new to me. I was like, what is happening?
At this point in your life, we're talking well over 20 years ago that a lot of these incidents happened. But what would accountability look like for you now against your perpetrator?
I still would just like to see something happen to him. I would like to see him pay for what he did, all those crimes. I know that there's a statute of limitations too. So it's probably in my dream world, if it could happen, I would love to see him just do some time for it or something, because he did something wrong and he needs to pay for what he did.
Do you feel that he understands that he should be accountable for the things that he did to you?
No, I think he's a total narcissist. I don't think that he thinks that he did anything wrong. I think that he thinks that I'm crazy. He actually, maybe 9 years ago, contacted me on Facebook and said, hey, friend. And I was like, if you contact me again, I'm going to call the police. And I was just like completely stunned that he reached out to me. And I just can't believe that he would still assume that we were friends after he literally ruined my whole entire teenage life. How can you do that to somebody and not get away with it? I think that he's just going through life, just living, getting out of trouble whenever he can, because that's the way that he lives. Nothing ever touches him.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to care for yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps, ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today for 10% off your first month.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice, and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
What impact did this have on any future dating relationships for you?
After I gave myself a year of not dating, I said to myself, well, I'm in grade 12. I'm not going to date for the entire year. So I gave myself that. I asked a guy out to prom, but I like chickened out the minute before. And then I just got him to sign my yearbook. But then I actually dated when I was 18. Started to just venture out there. I was like, I'm open. I'll do it. I didn't date the greatest guys. I still dated guys that were very controlling, saw me as being somebody who needed to be taken care of, saw me as somebody who was very fragile, that always needed to be saved. And they would even stalk me a little bit too. And I found that I was having a pattern and I was going, okay, what is wrong with me that I'm attracting these people? I have to look at that because that's not right. And I dated one guy actually after high school that was actually very, very healthy for me. It was very casual, but it was healthy. He was very kind to me. He was very open and honest with me. I remember the first time that we actually slept together. I was quiet while we were like intimate. And he's like, what's wrong with you? And I revealed to him beforehand that I was in an abusive relationship and that I was raped. And he was like, that can't be possible. That's not true. And then once we were intimate with each other, he realized, he was like, you literally were like a corpse. I don't know what was wrong with you, but it seemed like you were just not there. And I was like, oh, that's not cool. And he's like, yeah, you're supposed to like be into it, make noises, let me know what you're feeling. And I was like, oh, I'm supposed to do that? And then he stayed with me and we would work on things. He would actually talk to me about things and he believed me after that. We were always communicating. And it was just that we were too young. He just wanted to constantly date and just have fun. And I get that. We're 18. Who wants to settle down? He saw me as a girl that you wanted to settle down with. So it was kind of just like, yeah, it's not the time yet. And then he broke up with me over email. But that wasn't such a big deal. I was sad about it. But I was like, that was the healthiest relationship that I've ever been in. And it was casual because he was dating other girls.
Did you appreciate yourself more after that and what you deserve in relationships?
Yeah, I started to stand my ground. Once I saw red flags, I would be like, okay, you do that again, I'm walking away. I'm just giving you one more chance. And then they would do it again and I'd be like, bye.
Is there a consistent point when you feel comfortable enough to share some of the past traumas and experiences that you've had in toxic relationships with people you're dating?
When I was, I guess, 18, I remember the first two guys that I dated. I was very open very quickly, which I learned later on. Maybe I should have just held on a little bit tighter to that. They didn't run away from me, but I was like, maybe I should hold that maybe for like the third or fourth date just to not freak them out. But yeah, I'm very open with them just because I want people to know what they're getting into. Because I still do have trauma from it. So I want people to know that this is why I react certain ways. This is why I do certain things. It's not because of you. It's because of the situation that I was in. It doesn't reflect on you. I'm not comparing you to the guy. That doesn't matter. It's just the way that my body reacts.
What does trust look like to you now in dating and relationships?
Well, trust to me now is just, I want somebody to communicate with. I found that I've dated guys that don't communicate really well. I want somebody that's open with me completely. Even if it's bad news, I want somebody to just be like, give everything to me. Tell me what's bothering you. Trust is so important. And I want somebody that's caring and compassionate, but doesn't baby me, that wants to take care of me, but also lets me be independent and free. That has this kind of like balance, very family oriented because I'm just so close to my family. I want them to be close to their family. I want them to respect their mother, but be healthy, have a healthy relationship. But I want all those things because I'm now at 37, I'm looking at my life and going, this is the person that if you want to raise kids with somebody and you want to have kids with somebody, you need to have somebody who's going to just be completely open with you. It's going to be honest with you. It's going to want to communicate with you. It's going to be loving and take that load off of you. And also you do the same. There's like a give and take, but also a balance of that.
You felt comfortable enough coming forward to share your story initially on Strictly Stalking and now on Loveless Fridays. What gave you the strength to do that?
I remember listening to Strictly Stalking and just maybe had this craving since the relationship ended. Since I was a teenager, I would tell my mom all the time, I'd be like, I need a platform where I can tell this story. I want to help other teenagers not get into the same relationship that I was in, because I see the news. I see that other young people are dying because their spouse, their partner killed them. And I'm not part of that group, but I lived. And if I can help other people live, especially young people, because we don't know what we're getting into when we're in a relationship, especially when we're young, we're just learning what we want and what we need. And I just didn't want people to keep dying. I wanted to make sure that there were more people living than dying. I don't want people to end up on the news, because I was lucky enough not to end up on the news.
If someone in your life had a son or daughter and they came to you and said, I know that you shared your story about the things that you endured as a teenager while dating in a toxic relationship, what advice would you give the parent? And then what advice would you give the child?
Well, the parent, I'm looking at it from my point of view now as wanting kids, and especially if I had a son or a daughter, I would just keep an eye on that relationship. I would be not like too nosy in it, but I would keep an eye on it. I would keep an eye on their texts. I would keep an eye on the way that they treated that person while they're in front of you and while they're not in front of you. I wouldn't be a helicopter parent. I would let them kind of be independent, but I would keep an eye on it. I would have parental stuff going on with that, like on their cell phones, checking their texts, being a little bit nosy, even reading their diaries if you have to, just because of the safety. You don't want your kid to end up in that position, whether it's a boy or a girl. Nobody should have to feel not safe in a relationship. And for the teenager, I would say just keep an eye on your gut and your internal feelings. And if you feel like you're being gaslit in something, just know what your gut is telling you, what your body is telling you is what's right, and what that person is telling you is wrong. So listen to your body, listen to your gut, because that is going to be the thing that tells you this isn't safe for me. If your body says that I'm not safe in this relationship, I'm not comfortable in this relationship, then that is the right thing to do. You need to get out of the relationship like ASAP. The more we tell our stories, the more we kind of end that stigma of you should be ashamed of this because you're not at fault here. And hopefully we will get to a world where there is no domestic violence. And I hope by sharing my story that it also impacts people, because that's what kind of telling people our life experiences are supposed to do, are supposed to impact people and maybe change their minds. Maybe even men that are abusers and women that are abusers turn around and go, maybe I need help.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
What are some of the things that you're doing, and what inspired you to caregiving and also spiritual wellness?
Well, my mom being diagnosed with an aggressive stage 3 ovarian cancer, I just dove into just taking care of her. Before that, I was taking care of her with migraines, and it was just really simple caregiving. It was basically like not taking care of her. I would get her ice packs every once in a while, maybe give her some food. But when she got diagnosed with cancer, it was a huge turnaround, I became a full-time caregiver. It was grueling and grinding. I was on the clock 24/7. I would even sleep beside her just so I could protect her and also make sure that she was getting in and out of bed properly because she couldn't fall. And she's on chemo, even still chemo pills. I just want to make sure that she's being taken care of. And then I went into holistic caregiving because I just started to jump into it because I was like, I'm reading all these books about spirituality and I was spiritual to begin with. But then I started going the holistic route too because I was like, I need to figure out ways that I can help her by doing stuff that maybe is controversial or out of this world because she already has doctors. She has great doctors. I believe in like the modern medical world. I'm totally for that. But I also believe in the holistic route too, because I think that our souls need to be refreshed, taken care of. I think that we hold a lot of past experiences with us, not only in this body, but in other bodies that we carry on and lessons that we take with us that we have to relearn sometimes that we didn't learn in that in a certain lifetime. And I just want to help people in any way that I can. And I've always been kind of a caregiver since I was a kid, taking care of my brothers when they were babies, being the babysitter for my cousins and neighborhood kids. And I was always the caregiver. So like, what can I do as her caregiver? And what can I do for myself just to get my mind focused somewhere else to get her to a healthier place? And hopefully she will live a long life. So I just went into Reiki and I just started from there. And from there, I started a YouTube channel called Awaken with Danielle Gray. And it's just all about spiritual experiences, spiritual awakening, spiritual stuff. I also do Reiki sessions there for just about anything. It's a really new channel. And I just talk about just spiritual stuff that have happened, extraterrestrial stuff that has happened with me over the years, just over a lifetime of just experiences. And just talk about controversial things that maybe are being talked about on YouTube, but from my point of view, from how I experienced it, I'm all about healing, but also all about telling these extraordinary experiences that have happened to me that feel like out of this world, that don't feel real, but they are real. I hope that this episode changes at least one person's life. And if it changes many more than that, I'm so grateful.
Thank you for joining Danielle and I on Loveless Fridays. If you have a dating or relationship story to share or want to participate in a discussion here on Loveless Fridays, DM me on Instagram at lovelessfearpod or email me at lovelessfearpod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, sharing, and supporting. Links to guest social media and some content mentioned are in our show notes. If you know someone who's being abused by a partner, there is help available. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, the National Domestic Violence Hotline provides essential tools and support to help survivors of domestic violence so they can live their lives free of abuse. Call 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233 or text START to 88788.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialessly. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialessly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialessly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.